All right, so Pig Latin goes like this. I think it comes from deep in the hills of Kentucky. And my grandmother taught me when I was very small. It is a second language because I learned how to speak it right after I learned how to speak English. And it's just a variance of English where there's a certain pattern that you remove the first letter of every word and move it to the end and add a vowel sound to every word. That's all it is, okay? But when you're practiced at it, you can get pretty fast and you can say things like Anke uye pikseg peatle ayanke. I may ye is ye ashley. That's all it is. And when you're really, really fast at it, it's fun because me and my grandmother and my mother could sit and have full conversations just as fast as we could go, and nobody in the room would have any clue what we were saying. We could talk about people, not that you should do that. And we could just have full conversations in private in Pig Latin. So I miss those days. That's what it is. My children are fascinated by it too. And they're like, teach me. Like, it's really not a foreign language, okay? But it is fun. All right, we're going to get into the word tonight. And I'm really excited about this class that we're doing. We're on week three. Is it up there? It is not. Personal holiness for women. And if you have your notebooks that we've handed out, go ahead and pull that out. And if you don't have your notebook, that's okay. Just pull out a piece of paper or a notebook or something that you can jot down some notes on, because we're going to start off with an exercise tonight, just like we do each night. So what I would like for you to do for just a moment, this one's going to be kind of fast, okay? You are going to write down, think about your home, maybe growing up when you were a kid, or think about maybe when you were raising your children, and you're going to just write down three or four or five house rules, okay? Just some good old house rules. I'll tell you a few of mine that comes to mind. Lights out at 9:30 p.m., all right? We say please and thank you. Those are a few. Laundry goes in the laundry basket. Okay, just house rules. Just think of a few. All right. Now I want you to pick one of those house rules, whether it be yours with your children or one from, you know, years ago when you were coming up, doesn't matter. Just pick one of those house rules and share it with one of the gals beside you. All right, now pick another one and share it with the lady on your other side. All right, I'm trying to eavesdrop on some of these conversations. This sounds good. These are some good rules that y'all remember. Okay, so we're going to revisit that at the end, so keep your list handy, okay? We're going to come back to that, but if you'd like to take notes of what we're talking about tonight, you can maybe go to a new page or get ready to take some notes elsewhere. So hold on to your paper that you just wrote your rules on. All right, so we have been talking about the journey toward holiness and sanctification, and we learned that holiness is a journey. We're all on this personal journey, and we learned that sanctification is a word in the Bible. Can anybody be really brave and tell me what sanctification means? Just general words, easy words. Doesn't have to be any complicated. What'd you say? The process of growing. Yes. The process of growing to become more like Jesus. That's good. All right. And being set apart for his purpose. We're in this process. And does that process just kind of reach its peak and just stop one day? Never, ever, 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 ever. As long as we are serving the Lord, we are being sanctified. We are growing. We are becoming more and more like Him. Okay, so we talked about how in these steps to becoming more like Him and in this process toward holiness, one of the very first things we have to address is attitude. We have to address our attitude, because if we don't have the right attitude towards holiness and God's word, then it throws everything off, and we're doing it maybe for the wrong reason, or we're doing it with a bad spirit, or maybe we're not doing it at all and we're opposed to it. So attitude is very important when we're taking steps towards holiness. We haven't really ventured past attitude, but we've spent a couple of weeks talking about attitude because it's that important. Tonight, we're going to move on a little bit. I think we've had an attitude adjustment. We've asked the Lord to deal with us the last couple of weeks and take care of, you know, some of those attitudes and some of those things in our spirit that maybe are not part of this journey and shouldn't be a part of this journey. So there's a couple more steps toward this process and a couple more things that we need to talk about. There are three very clear steps towards holiness, okay? The first one is attitude, which we've been talking extensively about. The second one is principles. And the third one are standards. So we are going to just very briefly tonight talk for just a moment here what those three things are. And then since we've already talked a lot about attitude, our next topic is going to be that second step, principles. So we're going to talk about principles tonight. First, let me give you a quick definition. Attitude, remember we talked a couple weeks ago, the definition of attitude is a mental position or feeling with regard to a fact or a situation. So an attitude involves understanding that holiness is a part of God Himself that He wants to give to us. That was the proper attitude that we needed. Remember that? That God is holy, and so He wants to make us more like Him, and that is what holiness is about. And so that is an attitude we must have and an understanding we must have. Sanctification is the vehicle that He uses to make us more like Him. It's that process He puts us through to becoming more like Him. So we're going to read a few scriptures here. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Leviticus. This is Old Testament. Leviticus 21 and 8. I'm going to kind of jump through pretty quickly. So if you're not excellent at your sword drills, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Write these scriptures down if you'd like and maybe revisit them later. But Leviticus 21 and 8. Thou shalt sanctify him, therefore, for he offers the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. Now, this is talking to the priests of the Old Testament, right? They were going to go into the presence of God, and before they could, they had to go through a sanctification process. I told you it was a Bible word. I was not making it up. So it's in there. They went through this sanctification process in order to become sanctified enough, holy enough to get into the presence of God and do His work, right? So this concept of sanctification and holiness comes from a long, long time ago. We are in Leviticus, all right? So this is very, very old principles we're teaching. So sanctify him, and then it goes on to say, why? He shall be holy unto thee. So it's unto the Lord. We're not doing it unto anybody else. We're not doing it unto man. We're doing it unto the Lord. For For I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. So there's our why again. There's that attitude we're addressing. We're doing it unto the Lord, not unto man. And we're doing it because the Lord is holy, and we want to be more like him. That's what that means. Okay, let's turn to Exodus. So we're going back just a book there. Exodus 19 and 6 says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou speak unto the children of Israel." So God wanted all of his children to be a kingdom of priests, and he wanted them to be a holy nation. So he's calling them again to holiness. All right, let's jump over to the New Testament, and we're going to go to 1 Peter 1 and 16. First Peter 1 and 16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So there it is again. Why? It's all about our attitude. Why are we striving towards holiness? It's not to be perfect. It's not to please somebody. It's not to follow just a list of rules and ideas. It is because we're wanting to be more like Jesus. All right? And then our last scripture about this will be in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. So we're going to backtrack just a hair. I'm having all kinds of trouble with this. It doesn't have a book rest. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." All right? So he wants us to be holy, and holiness means set apart, right? It means to be set apart. And sanctification is the vehicle that he uses to make us more like him. So that was what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. If you've missed it, it's on the podcast. I think they just got week two up. So week one was, week two is up now. So please listen to those if you missed either of those weeks, because we talk all about this attitude and how we're trying to be more like Jesus, and we have to approach it with the right attitude. So many times we don't. So many times the church doesn't. So many times people don't. And that's when, if you don't start with the right attitude, then the next steps that come, it's going to be a lot harder. And there's going to be more challenges thrown at us. All right, so the next step toward holiness is a principle. The definition of a principle is a fundamental law, doctrine, or devotion to a certain code of conduct. All right? So a principle is an underlying law or doctrine that we understand, and then we obey according to our understanding. We have to have the knowledge and the understanding of it, and then we have to obey it, and that's that devotion to it. We have to be devoted to the principle of it. So when we have the knowledge and the understanding partnered with the right attitude, then we are able to apply it to our lifestyle. Okay? So an example of a principle is this, and we're going to talk very in depth about principles here over the next few moments. But an example would be the law of sowing and reaping. That's a principle established by God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 12. And it has been a principle and a law of nature ever since. And God's principles, God never changes. So his principles, his laws do not change, right? So the principle of the matter is that the seed was found in the fruit, and that the fruit could bear more fruit, right? So there's sowing and there's reaping. And that principle, we know it to be true today. We plant gardens and we know it to be true. We grow flowers and we know it to be true. We drive down the road and enjoy the trees and we know it to be true. right? So there's seeds and there's a principle of sowing and reaping. And this has never changed because God's principles never change. Okay? All right, now when we have the right attitude and when we come to understand a principle that is found in God's word, then we are able to apply that principle with the right attitude to our lifestyle. And this application of the principle is called a standard. A standard is a measuring tool or a model to be followed. That's what the dictionary says. It's just a measurement. It's just a, here is an example, right? Here is, you know, a standard to follow. Like if you can even hear this word outside of biblical teaching, you hear this word used all throughout our life. You might hear somebody say, well, the standard of expectation is, right? So it's not a scary word. Some of us are scared of it because we've heard it misused, right? And so it's not a scary word, but it is just a measuring tool. It's just an expectation. So the standard involves a person acting upon the knowledge and understanding of the principle, which is fueled by our mind and our heart having the right attitude. Right? So we see how this kind of all flows together. Our attitude and our heart, what we think or feel about it matters. Then when we're ready to hear that principle and receive that principle and get an understanding of God's principles, then we're ready to apply that principle. And the way we do that is through a standard. Everyone in this room has standards. Everybody, every one of us, okay? And we have standards on the outside, we have standards on the inside. We have standards of how we will allow people to treat us. We have standards of how we will allow us to treat others. We have a certain standard that we just won't go past, that measuring tool, right? On the outside, we all have standards because I don't know if you noticed, but every one of us tonight are wearing clothes. Thank the Lord, right? Every one of us have clothes on. And so that tells me that you have a standard when it comes to your outward appearance. You have a certain measuring tool that you're going to say, well, I'm not leaving the house. I have a standard. And so every one of us have some sort of standard, some sort of measuring tool that we're following. Wherever that came from, I don't know. It could be different for every person in this room. It could be something you were taught. It could be something that your family taught. It could be something you heard in the church. It could be something a friend told you. It could be something you read and came to revelation in the Word of God through a principle, you know, and had a certain attitude or feeling about it, and so you obeyed. So every one of us has all kinds of standards every day, right? Single women, you've got standards. You say, this is what, you know, I want. This is my standard. This is my expectation. That's what I'm looking for. So that's not a scary word. Standards are a good thing. It's a measuring tool. All right. So tonight, we're not going to talk about those. So everybody take a deep breath. Okay, everybody relax. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about principles. Because the standards do not even make a difference if we don't first get the attitude right, second, get the principle, and understand the principle behind the standard, okay? So what are principles? Well, I said earlier it was the dictionary defines it as a fundamental law, doctrine, or a devotion to a certain code of conduct. That's a principle, okay? Now, in the Word of God, a principle is a little bit, it kind of plays out of that, a fundamental law, doctrine, or devotion. But we're going to say a principle, simply put, from a biblical standpoint, is God's unchangeable laws. That is a principle. God's unchangeable laws. We have spent a great deal of time looking at our heart, checking our attitudes over the last couple of weeks, and so tonight we are ready to discuss principles. Principles are unchangeable laws that exist in the natural and in the spiritual worlds. Okay, let me give you an example of a natural principle that we are all so thankful for. It's called gravity, right? Laws of nature. Gravity is a law or a principle of nature that determines how objects move or don't move within the Earth's atmosphere. So an example, apples fall to the ground, and that principle cannot be changed. You know, we don't have the ability to change God's natural laws of nature, his principles. They don't change. The plan of salvation is a principle or a law that every person must obey to make heaven. When a person is born again of the water and the Spirit, as it says to do in John 3 and 5, then that person has obeyed a spiritual principle. That is a spiritual principle that Jesus himself spoke. You must be born again, right? And if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so that is a spiritual principle. Now, when someone comes to the understanding of that principle and they obey its standard, which is found in Scripture, John 3 and 5, born how? Born of the water and born of the Spirit. Acts 2 and 38, repent, be baptized, every one of you. That's being born of the water in the name of Jesus. And then receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is being born of the Spirit. That is a spiritual principle. When you hear that principle and then you obey that principle, the standard that is laid out in Scripture of how to obey it, because of their obedience to the principle, salvation is your reward. Amen. Salvation is a principle that is taught numerous times over in the Word of God, and it cannot be changed even if someone has a different opinion. So God's laws, his principles, don't change. And so if someone comes along hundreds of years after these principles were given in Scripture, or thousands of years, or if someone comes along tomorrow and tells us, I have another way of salvation, we know God's principles do not change. It is here in the Word of God. Even if someone has a different opinion, remember we talked about opinions in our first week, we have to kind of cast aside our opinions and approach his word with the right attitude, that the answers are here and it never changes. We are all subjected to principles every day of our life. Even before a person knows that a principle even exists, he or she is subject to the power of that principle. I want you to think about this. Think about gravity. We just used that example, right? That is a principle, a law of nature. Even before Sir Isaac Newton sat down under that apple tree and had an apple to fall down and hit him in the head, and he came to the realization that there is this principle, this law of nature out there, and he named it gravity, his body was already subject to the principle of gravity. He didn't realize it, but he was already subject to it. Even though he didn't know or understand, he didn't fully have the knowledge that, hey, you know, there's this law out there, there's this law of nature called gravity that's holding me on the ground. He was still subjected to gravity. He was held to that principle. So even if a person doesn't know about the plan of salvation, he is still subject to the principle. That is why it is our job to go and tell everyone we can. Because they have to obey this principle. They have to obey the word of God. And we want them, we want everyone to be saved. And so does Jesus. He's not willing that any should perish. And so God will go to great lengths to save a soul and share the good news of salvation with that soul. Because we are bound to the principle. We are bound to the laws of nature. We are bound to it, even when we don't fully understand it. With that being said, it is very important for us to study and show ourselves approved and to understand the truth and the principles of God's word. All right, so the first steps in this process, to understand the importance of living by principle, a person must understand some basic truths. So this Bible, your Bible, is full of principles. God's principles, God's laws, God's ways, God's teachings, the truth is in here. Doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what the next guy thinks. We have to turn to the Word of God to find His principles and to find truth. The most basic of these principles that we have to understand when we're approaching this topic is found in Romans 3 and 23. It's a familiar passage. We're going to read it here together. It says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I read that slowly because I want us to hear that. For all have sinned. Point to yourself. I've fallen short. All of us have sinned. That we have to come to the understanding of that right there to get us started. Okay? Now, we thank God have this incredible plan of salvation offered to us. And we can obey that and we can repent of our sins and He forgives us of our sins. And we can be baptized and buried in His name. And when we take on His name in the waters of baptism, our sins are washed away, remitted. They're not held against us. And then we can be filled with that incredible gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is our surety, right? It's our comforter. It's the evidence that we've received His Spirit. So this is an incredible experience for all of us. It's for everybody. But if you've been walking with the Lord any time at all, if you have the Holy Ghost within you, you have come to realize that even with the power of the Holy Ghost, it is difficult to overcome our flesh, our sinful nature. We all have it. We all have a sinful nature, a flesh that we have to battle every day. Now, the power of the Holy Ghost helps us, but this struggle is common to us all. Let's read Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is Paul. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. All have sinned, and even after we're filled with the Holy Ghost, there is still this struggle against sin, against our flesh, against our desires, right? We all have to struggle through it. Even the Apostle Paul was not exempt. Does anybody relate to the Apostle Paul when he says, the things that I want to do because I know what I'm supposed to do, the things that I want to do because I know the law and I know the principles of God, those are the things that I don't do. And then the things that I don't want to do because I know it's sin, those are the things I do. And so it's a struggle. It's a struggle in our flesh that we will have to battle against this flesh as long as we live in it. And so at war with our sanctification is our flesh. So many times we give the devil so much credit. And I'm not saying he's not warring against us, but most of our problems is our own flesh. It's me. I'm the problem. It's not the enemy. We don't need to give him all that credit. And so this flesh is something that we have to war against. We have to fight against it. We must first obtain salvation before we may ever obtain holiness. Every person must be born again of water and of spirit. We've talked about that. A born-again Christian receives a new nature through the Holy Ghost. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. A born-again Christian has an inheritance. We have an inheritance in heaven. Our salvation is through Jesus. We know these things, right? We're full of his spirit and we receive an inheritance. We receive, our reward is waiting for us. We receive this new nature that is supposed to just happen overnight, right? No. But that Holy Ghost is our help. And so I'm not here to diminish the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm just here to be real and let us to know that just because you have the Holy Ghost, it's not a bed of roses. It's not a cruise ship from here on out till we reach glory. It is a war against that flesh, right? Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And when we have that Holy Ghost, we have an inheritance, we have an award waiting on us, a reward. We're trying to get there, but we've got to allow ourselves to war against the flesh and be sanctified every step of the journey until we reach that reward. Good news is, the good news, I know this sounds like, well, Sister B, you're just throwing a wet blanket on it all. It sounds like this is just hard and horrible and we have to battle this every day. Yeah, we do. But he hasn't left us without a help. And so let's go back to the book of Romans. I know we're all over the place tonight. Romans chapter 6. Verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We have to crucify that flesh. We have to put it to death. Paul said he died daily. So if he had to, then surely we need to. Every day, putting that flesh to death and destroying it so that we're not serving our flesh, because if we're dead to it, we are free from sin. Jump down to verses 11 through 14 of the same chapter, Romans 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, dieth, I'm sorry, I just lost my place. There we go. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Jump down to verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end of it, everlasting life. We just got to get there. We just got to get to that reward. We just got to just take it one day at a time and crucifying that flesh. And the Holy Ghost is our help. Does it take it all away? No. We still have to battle it even when we have His Spirit. We still have to war in our flesh. All right. So holiness is conformity to the character of God. And the process of being sanctified means we come to think as He thinks. We love what He loves. We hate what He hates. And we act as He would act. This does not come natural to us because we have flesh. Right? So it is this constant battle of flesh versus spirit, warring in our members. Okay? And so holiness is a process. It does not just happen overnight. Right? It is a process. And it's us conforming to being more like God. Moses and the children of Israel are an example of this holiness journey. Think about this. When they reached Mount Sinai, they were not all on the same level of holiness. Here's how we know this. You can read this week in Exodus 19 and then also chapter 24. When they got to Mount Sinai, God forbade the children of Israel to touch the mountain where the presence of God dwelled and where He met with Moses. The children of Israel were not even allowed to touch it because they were unclean. They were not holy. They were not sanctified enough to be in the presence of God. His presence was so strong they'd fall over dead. And so, if you keep reading, the Lord allowed Moses and Aaron and 70 elders to come up a little further up the mountain. They had gone a little further on this journey. They could get a little closer to God's presence. They'd walked with the Lord a little more. Then, when they reached a certain point, Aaron and the elders had to stay at that point, and God took Moses to the top of the mountain with Him. So this shows us that not everybody is on the same place in our journey, as we've been saying for the last couple of weeks. It is a process. It is a process of warring after the flesh, and the more you do it, it's just like anything, the better we get. The more you put your flesh in submission to the Spirit of God, the easier it becomes. And certain things that once was such a struggle begins to come a little easier for us. But we have to do it. We have to practice it. We have to put that flesh to death every day. And so on this journey with the children of Israel, we can learn something. It is a process. And we must have a certain tolerance for people who are in the process. We are all at different places in our knowledge. We are all at different places in our understanding. We are all at different places in our attitude. We are all at different places in our understanding of the principles of God. And we must trust that God and our pastor will shepherd us all. And I'm going to do my part. And I'm going to make sure that my flesh is being crucified every day. Remember we talked about that last week? Worry about me. Worry about getting myself to heaven. That's hard enough, y'all. That's a job. Holiness is a continual process of sanctification. We never arrive until we reach heaven. If a person does not continue in this process, they can forfeit their status of being born again. Let's look at Psalms 51, 1 through 10. It says this: Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. This is a good prayer to pray, y'all. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is David. David knew the Lord. But David found himself in a place that he needed to get back right with God. There were things in his flesh that God did not approve of. There were things that was keeping him from being in a right status with the Lord. And you and I can be in that same place. We can allow, in this process, we can allow things to come in that are not of God, and we can forfeit our status in his kingdom. So it's important. It's important that we get this. Holiness is a two-part process. It's separation from the world and worldliness, and it's dedication to God. So we're going to talk for just a couple of minutes here. It's important for us to study these principles and know what they are so that we know how to apply them. The principles involve two things. Separation is a principle, okay? It's a law that is given all throughout the Bible. Separation is taught from the book of Genesis on. Abram and his family, Brother Donald danced all over it tonight when he was speaking and I had to grin. Abram and his family were called to separate themselves from their family and leave the Ur of the Chaldeans where it was comfortable. Abraham and Lot had to go their separate ways from one another. The children of Israel had to leave Egypt. They had to be separate. God has always required his people to be something set apart and different than everyone else. Come out from among them and be ye separate, right? He's called us a peculiar people, different. So the true church will show its separation from the world. Let me tell you what this does not mean. This does not mean that we look at what the world is doing and we just do everything different than them just to be separate and be different and be weird. All right? What it does mean is that we look at the principles of God and we live according to those principles, even when it's not popular, even when it means being different. We do not allow culture and trends and the motives of the world to guide our lives. We don't change our beliefs because, oh, the world is moving in a different direction, so I better move with them. Separation. When the children of Israel lived according to God's commandments, they were blessed. But when they took their eyes off of Scripture and they looked at the societies around them, they would begin to act and think and look and live like them. And each time, you read it all throughout your Old Testament, each time God would remove his blessings from them, and then they began this decline. Spiritual decline, a decline as a people, as a nation. Every time they would wind up in bondage and slavery, and they'd get so bad and they'd get so desperate in this place of desperation that they finally would cry out to God in repentance. God would send them a deliverer and deliver them, but unfortunately, they would repeat this process over and over and over. We must learn from them. Read your Old Testament. Read about the children of Israel. Read those stories. They're not just fictional stories. They're powerful, and we can learn from them. God has always separated his people for his glory and his purpose. If we are truly going to be his people, we are going to be separated and different from the world around us, and there is always a blessing in that. Read the Word of God. There's always a blessing in doing things God's way. Always. So separation from the world is essential, but it is not enough. There's another part to this as we're getting ready to wrap things up tonight. God wants us to be dedicated to him. He doesn't want us to just be separated in our actions and our deeds. And this goes back to that attitude, right? We can do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. So we're going to turn again to the book of Romans. We've been in Romans a lot tonight. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's our reasonable service, being separated. Separation is only half the equation, and that is a problem for some people in the church. Some of us work really hard on being separated. We work really hard at getting that part down and being different than the world and obeying God's laws and commands. And some of us strive to be as different from the world as we possibly can, but our problem is our attitude. Because we're doing it as more out of an obligation than as our reasonable service unto God. We're doing it because so-and-so expects me to. We're doing it because, well, I guess that's just what God says, so I'm going to do it, but I don't really care what God thinks. I'm just trying to impress him or trying to impress somebody around me. His desire is that we not only be willing and that we have an understanding of our need for separation, because that's a principle. Separation from the world is a principle in Scripture, always, always, always. But with that separation, he wants us to have a heart. That's where the attitude is. A heart that is dedicated to him. A heart that wants to serve him. A heart that wants to please him. Amen? Dedication to God means loyalty. Dedication to God is learning to love him above all else. Loving him more than anybody, anything, that is dedication. It is studying and showing ourselves approved. It's learning his word and then obeying what we've come to understand. Why? Because we love him and because we want to serve him. Look again at the children of Israel. God asked them to separate and sent them a deliverer to lead them out of Egypt. There were struggles, but they were temporary. and they succeeded in being separated from Egypt. But when they got out there and it came to the point that God desired more from them than just separation, he began asking for their dedication. He began asking for their trust. This is when they failed the test. They were never intended to just run out of Egypt and escape. But God calls us out of the world so that he can draw us closer to himself and we can be dedicated to him. He draws us out not just to deliver us and separate us and make us weirdos, but he calls us out to make us more like him and to bring us closer into relationship with him. So principles, as we're getting ready to close, the reason that so many Christians have trouble obeying principles in God's word and applying it to their lives is because they're focused on the issue and not the principle. When we focus on issues and not principles, it's easy to develop an attitude about it. My greatest fear is that we will raise up a generation that's trying to obey issues without really grasping the principle behind it. The principle is the foundation. That is where you will be grounded. When people ask you questions, when people question, why do you do this? Why do you live that way? When you have your own doubts or frustrations with living for God, it is the principle that we have to go back to. This is why I do it. We cannot get so consumed with all of the issues that we miss out on the principles. The issue is simply the outward evidence that we've understood and that we've obeyed the principle that we read in the Word of God. But the principle is the heart of it. We've got to get back to the principles. In 1 John 2:15, he tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in it, right? And so that is the principle of all of it, the principle of holiness, the principle of being separate, where we can see all throughout Scripture that God calls us to separation. It's that he doesn't want us to love the world and the things of the world, but he wants us to love him. So in closing, I want you to go back and I want you to look at your list of house rules. Pull out those rules from the beginning of our class. And I want you to think of one. This is principles in action. Okay? Holiness is not about rules here, but it's about principles. Now, I want you to look at one of those rules, and I want you to think, what was the principle behind it? For example, it was the rule in my house growing up. My mama, she got up early and went to work. So the rule was lights out, bedtime, 9:30 p.m. That was the house rule. As a kid, I obeyed the rule without understanding the principle. But the principle there is that my mother was a good, loving mother. And she went to work early for me. And she needed a good night's rest. And she knew that I needed a good night's sleep so I could be happy and healthy. That's the principle. So with God's rules and his laws, with his principles, there's always a loving reason behind it. And when he calls us to holiness and he calls us to separation, it's a principle. It's a principle of protection. It's a principle of being more like him. It's a principle of being closer to him. Let's not focus on the issues, but let's learn to look at the principle, the why. All right? So let's pray in closing tonight. And ask God to reveal to us principles in his word and help us not to focus on all of the issues. Lord, we need you, Jesus. We need you, God, to teach us. We need you to guide us in your word. God, we know that you are a loving Father and you are a good and righteous God. And we are desiring, Lord, to draw closer to you, to be more like you, God, to be holy as you are holy. Help each one of us on this journey we're on, God. Help us when we lose our way. Let us be like David and pray, create in me a clean heart, O God. Purge me, God, and make me right. Lord, help us, Jesus, to turn back to the principles that we find in your word, principles that you've called us to holiness, that you've called us to be separate and different and peculiar, principles that you've called us to be dedicated and devoted and loyal to you, Jesus. Help us, God, to look at these principles and take our minds and our focus off of the issues that surround us. But God, every issue, somewhere inside of it, God, somewhere behind it is a principle that you're calling us to obey because you love us. You want what's best for us, God, and help us to keep a right attitude and a right heart before you, God. Help us to study with and gain understanding, Jesus. Help each woman in this room tonight and everyone listening on the podcast, Lord, let us turn to your word to find the principles that you want to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. God's word is true and it is good. And his principles says that his truth endureth to all generations, never goes out of style. It's good and we can trust in it. Amen. I love you all, and I think somebody has been tugging on this door over here, just dying to get in, so we're going to let them in, and we'll come back and do this again 2 weeks from tonight. So remember that next week is Thanksgiving. We do something a little different around here. We do not have Wednesday midweek next week, but we have Tuesday prayer and pie, and so come and enjoy a time of prayer, and every family bring a pie to share, and we'll have fellowship, and it'll be a great time of Thanksgiving next week. But the following week, we'll be back in here, and we'll finish our study. Love you all. God bless you.